Hello, I'm Bill Scanlon, and I'm the host of The Broader Issue, Digital 3D, sponsored by Quantel. As usual, I'm here in the studio at 0101, a training and learning centre for the media creative design industries, located in the heart of London's Soho district. My guest for this programme is Philippe Gerard, founder and CTO of 3D production company 3DLized. He spoke to me on the telephone from his office in Paris. We begin with a little bit of background. Philippe, tell us a bit about 3DLized.
3DLized is an adventure of two people, which are Patrick Zucchetta from the business management of Doremi Europe, and I, who was a movie director and engineer. So we met 3 years ago without creating 3DLized right away, because we had to do an event together, which was the issue of a plane called the Falcon 7X from Dassault Aviation. And this was the very first time that we did a 3D movie of 10 minutes in HD using the server of Doremi. And so this was the first in Europe. And at that time, we thought that that was a good time to start to do 3D movies. And in 2005, we made more than 50 minutes of movie, HD, 3D, all over Europe, Intel in Dubai, and Warid Telecom in Pakistan. So we did more than 50 minutes. And so we only created 3DLized last year because it was fitting to the market and it was the time to the market for us.
When we first met at IBC in 2007, you'd just done a presentation on 2D to 3D conversion. Was that your original business model?
At the very beginning of 3DLized, Patrick and I were thinking that 2D, 3D conversion would be the first step to provide content to movie theater. And in fact, because we were doing 3D movies before, the demand has been quite different, in fact. They were asking us to do movies without caring about the techniques. So we really fast took care of the knowledge we didn't have at that time of doing 3D by computer graphic images or 3D from 2D 3D conversion or 3D by shooting with stereo cameras. So the last one has been the newest for us. And so now we are fully equipped in stereo cameras for doing the three techniques. So basically that our focus has changed a bit lately. But in IBC we were more focused on 2D 3D conversion. But the market was different at that time. In fact now, as you can see with YouTube, it's only shooting in there.
Why did you make the switch from 2D to 3D conversion into 3D production?
I think we wanted to go toward quality. And thinking about making movies like we did before in 2D, we thought that quality is not taking care of the technique you are working with. We were thinking that mixing all of them was probably the main possibility to create, to give more space to creativity. And this is the reason why we moved forward in that direction, in fact. We wanted to go further in terms of creativity and not being stuck only with the one technique that was a 2D, 3D conversion only.
And how would you summarize the attraction of 3D for you as a film director?
In fact, I did quite a lot of advertising in 35 millimeters a long time ago. And when we discovered the 3D 2 or 3 years ago in terms of production, we were thinking that was a good way to return to our first love, I would say, of doing new movies with more creativity than we could.
Is 3D taking off in France?
Not really. There is a community and the people are getting closer now, all together. We are really at the center of them, and we probably learned a lot speaking with the people who have done 3D for all their life. But it's not really common for now in France that people get equipped like we did, but also because we are the first in France to have a European project concerning 3D development in Europe. So we have partners that are Thomson and for the cameras, HHI in Germany, Reading, the University of Reading in England. So we, because of that, we are really starting a new, we have the power of getting faster on the market, in fact, because all this connection with the researcher and the and important companies in terms of hardware is helping a lot for us to go faster to the market, because we have the equipment and because we are going to try to think about the comfort of the 3D. Because if you go in Park Sim, sometimes you see that the 3D is not really quite comfortable and it can hurt your brain. And when Patrick and I wanted to go into 3D, we wanted to start thinking that the film wouldn't hurt the brain. And this is the reason why we get stronger and deeper in the technology.
And are you developing any technologies or techniques to address the issue of eye and brain fatigue?
We did some kind of special tools 2 or 3 years ago when we had to develop the film for the Dassault Aviation. We had a constraint in the screenplay where we had to make a special effect in terms of depth that would represent the plane in real size, which means that this plane has to get out from the screen, be in front of the screen, more than 29 meters of depth, and that was not really feasible with the tools available on the market at that time. So we developed a tool that was specific and was taking care of the human vision system. That's the first tool we did. And we used it as a rendering in our 2D 3D conversion tool also. And now we are more making for the shooting, we are more making tests with audience to test what are the limits of the brain damage, how many times do you have to show something strong? For example, we are trying to assess how much time you can present a very strong effect for an advertising. For example, for a commercial, you can go further in terms of 3D effect, but for a long movie of 90 minutes, you have to be really careful of not forcing the people to leave the room if the brain hurts. So we are taking care of that, doing a lot of tests on people, in fact.
And I guess that's taken care of by the person with this this brand new role of being the stereographer.
Yeah, you're right. The stereographer will guarantee that the people won't quit the room. And this is very, very important for a long movie, because you can get into the story very fast, but you won't stay if your brain hurts. And as you can see in movies like The Last Disney or Beowulf, they always did a very small effect. They are all behind the screen, and they don't take the risk of hurting the brain, in fact. If you see this is that way. But sometimes the demand, because of the Park Sim can be a little bit different, and you might have a different domain in the future of having sometimes effect that goes in front of the screen, and we have to take care of that now.
Is this new person, the stereographer, primarily making creative decisions or applying scientific principles?
I think you have to think of the both issue. You cannot be a stereographer and a 3D movie director without knowing the technology. This is probably one of the very different approach to movie now, because in 2D you can do whatever you want. You won't really hurt the brain, even if you move a lot the camera. You won't really hurt the brain of the people. But doing 3D, I think you cannot avoid to know the technology. But in the same time, you have to learn how to do the most beautiful effect, and this influences the framing. So of course you have to write the screenplay in 3D if you want to have the best of the 3D. I think if you go to Park Sim, I always complain about the fact that this is just effects. But in U2, for example, you can really see them. They use the depth as a new media to express feelings to the audience. And that's really what I would like to do now, to use the three dimension to boost the feelings of the audience. And it's both technical and both creative, I guess.
It sounds like you enjoyed U2 3D.
Oh, yeah. The personal comment I have on it is probably one of the most beautiful 3D content I have ever seen. And it's really smart because you can really see what the 3D can bring as a media. I went to the first presentation last Friday. That was only the Friday, the first presentation in France. And in fact, U2 brings a really new feelings to the audience. And when I went out of the movie theater last week, I heard the people saying that it was better than the concert itself, because you can feel the music. The music is really good in a movie theater. The sound is really good. And the 3D effects bring the feeling of being there, just being in the concert, but close to the band, closer than if you were there. So the perception of the audience was probably better than being in the concert itself. I mean, I shouldn't say that to the people who are doing music concerts, but it's probably the best way to develop a movie forever when a band has done a very good concert like U2 did.
So which parts of U2 3D do you think work the best?
I think the one I really liked is the merge of all the technology, when you have a different framing blended all together with different depths, where you see Bono. There are very nice sound effects associated to the image. For example, the real one I liked was when Bono went close to you and the sound changed as if he was singing only for you in the audience. So the rest of the concert disappeared and you were quite like alone with Bono in front of him singing for yourself. And then it moved it back to a very wide frame and you were in the concert back again. That was fantastic. Mixing different framing and sound effect.
Were you sitting down when you were watching the film?
Oh, yeah, because we were not supposed to move, but I think I would have liked to dance, like the people did at the festival, the film festival of Cannes last year.
What did you think of The Fly and its use of graphics?
Oh, when the letters were flowing, that's what I meant when I said it was probably the best effect I saw, because you merge computer graphic images and real images. That's really fantastic. This is the reason why it's not a matter of techniques. You have to mix them all to do the best film as you can. That's a good example of what is feasible with 3D, using the depth as a media of creation.
And what didn't work?
I saw some few sequences where they mix incoherent 3D. At the end of it, of the show, I saw some merge of two different depths that were not compatible. And I also saw one point where they probably didn't have the correct 3D, so they displayed the 2D images at the very end of the content.
Do you think that with your experience of 2D to 3D conversion and post-production in 3D, that you'd have been able to enhance some of the U2 3D content?
Yeah, you are really right. Thank you for that question, because this is exactly what we are thinking now. We use 2D 3D conversion to improve some problems that you can have at shooting, and we used it on a movie we made for horse races, where we shot sequences that couldn't be shot twice because it was a race, and we had several very very important sequences to put in 3D, and two of them have been converted. Yeah, you're completely right about that. So you can really give the possibility to have successful content after the shooting using the post-production conversion. You are right. This is very important.
Can you pick out any specific shots in U2 3D that, in your opinion, could have been enhanced successfully using 2D to 3D conversion to improve the effect?
Yeah, actually, I think some of few sequences have a very strong effect, a 3D effect. I have been quite I have some kind of pain to reconstruct images where Bono was in the light. You know, you have a projector behind him, and the projector made a shadow on the camera because he had his head been in front in the flow of the of light. And I think that would have been better to convert that, for example. And few effects are too strong because they were not preparing the fact that, for example, the guitar would come closer, so close to the camera. Actually, this is the reason why you need to have this 2D, 3D conversion sometimes in-house, because sometimes you don't expect something to get very close to you, and that ruin completely the sequence.
As some of those were long shots taken with a zoom lens, and let's face it, that's not natural.
So maybe for a little part of the sequence, you need to do it in 3D using 2D 3D conversion. We had that with the last movie we made regarding horse races, because you never know what a horse is going to do, and sometimes it's getting very close to you, and you are not ready to prepare the parameter of shooting for that close, very close up.
Now, you mentioned the advertising business earlier. Do you see commercials as being an important area in the development of 3D?
Yeah, for us it was very important because I am coming from the advertising movie direction. So when you see the content, the very long content that has been done until now, it's not enough in terms of effect to have a real impact on the audience as a commercial. A commercial has to be stronger, more with a bigger impact than the concert or a movie afterwards. So you need to think differently in terms of advertising. The time is shorter, so you can do different type of effects. That's what you have to have in mind, because then you can really create a real impact onto the audience because the time is shorter.
So are you talking with the ad agencies in Paris about 3D?
Yeah, we are already working that way. We really want to boost the commercial as the position it has before in front of movies. The commercial is always something very neat. You try to, for luxury, for example, you have to have the best in a very short time. So you need to do the same for 3D. It has to be very impactful.
How are the agencies receiving the idea?
They are really impressed by the. We have a little character right now which is before U2 in every movie theater in France, and that explains how to use your glasses, your 3D glasses, and this little character is made as a commercial. Very strong effect where the tongue of the character is getting out of the screen than more than 10 meters, and this character looks like how a commercial could be, and this is what we show to the commercial agency that are really sensitive to it. But for now, the problem is like we don't have enough movie theater available to display the commercial, so we are waiting a bit, probably by the end of the year or next year, to do a commercial for the movie theater, I guess. This is just a time to market a little bit different, but we have to send to make them sensitive to that.
Now, in my experience, the advertising agencies and production companies tend to like using their favourite DOPs and crews. How do you think this is going to be affected by the idea of shooting in 3D?
It might be difficult to, as a first time. What we did lately is like we got really close to production companies that were linked to these commercial companies, and we tried to find a production company that was open-minded enough to understand that they had to work with us on that, because it's something new, and you have to take care in the at the screenplay time that it has to be in 3D. So it's not really easy, because it's a big change in the commercial agency. They have to accept that they cannot work without a stereographer.
So you're in a great position to take advantage of this situation.
Well, we try to we are doing a really pushy communication on media right now. We try to explain to on radio mainly in France that we that the content in 3D has to be is better if it's done thinking that it's going to be 3D. Yeah, we are doing a lot of communication on that on the audience itself directly. So we are inviting a lot of people in on the Champs-Élysées. There is a specific movie theater where we can make shows regularly, and once a month we display how the 3D can boost and change the world. Yeah, we have to communicate a lot.
Well, hey, it's still a learning process for most of us.
Oh, yeah, this is very difficult because, as you said, it's quite stuck. It's difficult to get into this world of commercial. But, well, you can also have a commercial directly. And the digital media is quite funny because it doesn't always respect the business model that have already been forever. So you can see that some people have an idea and are able to do it, are able to do it in concrete, just doing it and going until the end of the idea. I'm not sure it's clear, but what I meant is. You have to go as far as you can to explain to the people who want to do the commercial that they might think differently, and they have to boost the commercial agency to work with you. Actually, it's what we did with Dassault Aviation for the plane 3 years ago. The commercial agency was not really into 3D, but the customer wanted it. So they had to do the way the customer asks it to do. That's what we do when we communicate. We try to make the people learn that it has to be in 3D since the screenplay.
Traditionally, the French government has shown a lot of support for the French film industry. Are they helping in the development of 3D cinema in France?
The French government is thinking about it, but just now, because I think the 3D has not been thought really in France. We discovered it as a matter of fact. I think it came out, it came from the US really fast, and the French government was not ready. So they are thinking about funding now, but it's going to be for next year, I guess. So their production starting now. Companies are sending funding proposal now, and so this is only getting into place now. In fact, we were not ready. The government was not ready in terms of 3D.
In the UK, the government has helped to kickstart the installation of 3D cinemas. Is that not happening in France?
Not yet, no. Actually, this is more the movie theater chain are doing it by themselves right now. So CGR, for example, which is a brand of cinema, is doing it by themselves. They are very motivated to do it, and they are installing more than 400 movie theaters for next year, but they are doing it without subvention.
So that must make it quite a struggle.
Yeah. For now, it's difficult because we see all the other countries getting really fast, and we are trying to do everything by ourselves. So this is the reason why we got really close to the community, because for now we don't have too much of an option.
I have to say, Philippe, I'm quite surprised by that. I mean, here in London, we've always been a little bit envious of the help with tax breaks and also the subsidies for the post houses. And yet with 3D, that doesn't seem to be quite the case yet.
No, but I think it's going to come. You're right. The movie foundation is going to move fast for next year. But I think they were not ready this year. It's just a matter of time. It's going to be better next year for sure. But in fact, you know, we are really surprised that we had fundings from Europe, from the EEC, in fact, before France. So we are in the middle of several European projects, and we have no French project for now.
Now, what about Hollywood? Are you linking up with Hollywood at all?
Well, we'd like to work in Europe first, but I think we might bring something there. You know, the kind of the French touch. So maybe this is our European touch. I don't know how to say that. But I think we could show them something new if we work all together. Yeah, I think so. For instance, the US are really popular in Hollywood to do a movie with a lot of actions. And this is not exactly the type of movie that really presents the 3D in a better way. And I think more contemplative movies like we do in Europe are probably very interesting to do nice 3D effects. So we might, in Europe, have the way of doing something new in terms of 3D. Yeah.
You've already said that you'd like to make a concert movie yourselves, like U2 3D.
Oh, yeah, we would love to do that. We were starting to ask to several singers if they were interested to do the same thing. I mean, we could maybe start very in a shorter way by doing a music movie clip first, and then we would be ready to show them and to make them discover that they could do the same. Yeah, we would like to do that, but it has to be an international singer, and who can be fashionable for years, like you two are.
What about the cost of making such a movie? I mean, you know, do you know what the budget for U2 3D was, for example?
It cost $10 million. But I think if someone, I don't know, like Robbie Williams, for instance, or, I don't know, Madonna, or someone like that, is saying yes to that, I think it's quite easy to find the money for it. The business model is already done with U2.
And is that one of your main focuses now?
Yeah. We are really going into alternative contents, so commercial, movie clips, documentaries, shown and concerts shown in movie theater next year, or by the end of this year.
Are you also interested in sport as a form of alternative content?
Yeah, what we would like to do is to have a long version of such a content, and a shorter one for the people who would like to see as a pre-show before another 3D movie. So you would have the content, both the long content, and that you would go to see in full length, like U2 is doing now. And you could also have a shorter version than you could see as a pre-show before another 3D movie. You know, as the former movie theater we had like a long time ago, where pre-show were also part of the show.
When you're making content for the cinema, are you considering how it will look on 3D television? Are you taking this into account?
Yeah, I think we have to think that way. You have to prepare different masters. You have to have a mastering place in your post-production workflow in terms of providing the right content to the right place. Because, as you said, the screen size is very important. So you cannot really provide the very same content to very different size of screen. If you stay in like, sorry, I'm going to speak in meters, but so if you have an eight meter screen up to 20 meters, the content can be the same if the effects are not very strong. But of course, if you go into 3D TV, or if you go into other techniques of presentation, like, I don't know, polarized glasses that makes ghost, you have to maybe to have different masters ready for different contents. So we are thinking about that for now. We don't have a real solution for now, but we have to think of providing different masters for different contents presentation.
And that brings us right back to your experience in conversion.
That's right. This is the reason why it goes again into the workflow. Yeah.
When you're deciding on a format and you don't know whether it's going to be released on IMAX or on the smaller screen, how do you find that balance? You must be making a subjective decision at that point.
I think we have to prepare the content for the middle size. I would say 10 or 12 meters wide. And then you have to prepare a different content when it's getting really far away, like I said, the double, like, I don't know, 25 meters, or when it's getting very small, like 1 or 2 meters. I think you have to prepare 3 types of content, I guess.
With this in mind, then, what do you think of the post-production tools that are currently available on the market?
Yeah, I had a presentation of the Quantel tools last 2 weeks ago. I found it really fantastic in terms of real time. It's a very interesting tool that we are going to try to test soon. We are already having the Assimilate tool, the tool from Assimilate. We are testing Scratch for now. And we are pretty happy of using the real time for editing. That's very changed. Before we were editing one eye, and we discovered the 3D problems after edition, which is not really convenient. And then now we are trying to edit in 3D directly, and that makes a change. It makes a real change in terms of productivity. We are thinking about using Quantel soon, but for now it's not in our it's not in our budget for this year.
As I smile at the mental picture of Quantel adding 3D lives to the 2009 prospect list, I'm afraid that's all we got time for this edition of the broader issue Digital 3D, sponsored, spookily enough, by Quantel. Thanks, Philippe, for giving us a great idea as to the state of play of 3D in continental Europe. And also thanks to 0101 for the use of their studio facilities. We're lining up some fantastic guests for future programmes. For those of you with an interest in the neuroscience and physiological effects of stereoscopic 3D, we hope to have a real treat for you soon. Programme production was by Colin Birch, post-production by Chaz Rowden. I'm Bill Scanlon. Thanks again for listening, and goodbye.